So that's Bill Frisell there. Yeah. He's on the guitar, and Thomas Morgan there on the bass with What a Party. And we also heard Brad Meldow, and his album is called The Garden, and we heard the tune off of that, The Garden. And Ben Sidran with Highway 61 Revisited from his album, a 2009 release. It's called Dylan Different, and it is different, by the way, yeah. Pharoah Sanders with You've Got to Have Freedom, and Horace Silver with Liberated Brother, and Jack DeJohnette with his group Hudson, and we heard Woodstock off of that in 2017 release. And we are all caught up here at your radio station, listener-supported WPKN. We are in Bridgeport, Connecticut, 89.5 FM. So as promised, and I have to say before I bring this person on the air, this is a colleague of mine who works at Teachers College, and the idea for this whole show actually came from Barbara, who you'll be meeting in just a second. Barbara, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, fabulous. All right, so I was just going to tell them that you told me your Woodstock story. And I thought that was so interesting that I decided that I would do a little segment of it on the air. And so I'm so grateful for you to join us.
Well, thank you for asking me. And when, after you did ask me, I thought, oh, my gosh, what am I going to say? What am I going to say? And I thought, I'm just going to say how I felt about it, which is pretty awesome. And so, yeah. I'm glad to be here.
So, you know, first off, you know, I really wanted to, you know, dig into how you actually got there, because to me, the backstory of where you were supposed to be going and where you actually wound up going is really interesting.
So we used to, as most people my age and time, we hung out at the diner, and we were hanging out at the diner, and two of us had tickets to see Led Zeppelin in Asbury Park. And we were just sort of all talking about it, and the concept of Woodstock came up, and somebody said, hey, why don't we go to Woodstock? And I said, okay, good idea, let's do that. And so I couldn't even give away my Led Zeppelin tickets. Nobody even wanted them. I think I still have them in a drawer somewhere. And so we went to the local music store. We bought tickets for Friday night because we were just going to go for one day. And off the four of us went in my friend's Roadrunner, brand new Roadrunner, you know, a musclehead car. And the rest is history. We never left for the entire weekend. And I still have my ticket because at that time, we arrived Friday night when Ravi Shankar was on stage. There was nobody taking tickets. The gates were already down.
Oh, really?
The fences were already down. Everything was down. I recall pulling in to just a spot on the field and setting up a tent and walking around. It had started raining, but as much as the rain is talked about at Woodstock, it is not a significant memory to me.
It looks like a mess, I have to tell you. And you know, there's in the documentary, there are pictures of people sliding down mud hills. Did you do that?
Yeah, you know,
I knew it. I didn't have to ask.
I wish I had saved were my bell-bottom jeans that had mud stains about a foot up from the bottom, like permanent mud stains. Because,
I wish you did too. I'd love to see them.
I wish I did. Yeah, I walked around in the. We didn't bring any change of clothes. We were there. We just were going for Friday night, so we were kind of unprepared for how amazing it was for what we were doing there and being there. And I recently went, this past summer, I went back to the site, and it just made me happy to be there. I stood over the hill. I was pointing to my husband, who did not make it there. That's where my tent was, and that's where the stage was. And it just felt so good to be there.
And what's your recollection that there was not food? Because it sounds to me like you were not planning to stay.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So just as we were leaving, my boyfriend's mother handed us a pot of stuffed cabbage that she had prepared.
<That's> hilarious.
She said, yeah. And so we had a pot of stuffed cabbage, and we made this little impromptu fire, and we were camped alongside a cornfield. And so we picked corn, and we had stuffed cabbage, and we shared it with everybody around us. And there, you know, food was being handed out at the hog farm, and people were just taking care of each other. There wasn't any sense of crisis. there wasn't, at least not from our perspective, there wasn't any sense of this is a disaster. There was a sheet of paper, a sheet of mimeographed paper that went around, you know, flyers. And on the top it said, survive, 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 survive. And it had lists of everything that you needed to do to survive, how to share water, what pills not to take, you know, don't take the blue pills, which ones were safe to take. And I still have that piece of paper in a frame in my hallway.
Oh, I'm taking a photo of it the next time I'm at your house.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Now, you might have noticed I did not announce your last name. Because I wanted to ask this question, and I wasn't sure if you would answer me if I had announced your last name. So I want to know if you dropped acid.
I did not.
No, and were you like the odd man out there for not doing that, or was it not quite at that level?
Oh God, no! There were plenty of people dropping acid, and there were plenty of people who were having very bad trips. I'm of the mindset that you don't need that to enjoy the experience. And so I was just one of those like 17-year-old impressionable hippie girls that was just loving every minute of it.
Were you able to hear the music from where you were?
Oh God, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So what we did was we parked the car, pitched our tent, walked back to the stage, sat pretty close to the front of the stage, and yet everywhere you were on site, you could still hear the music. So there were impromptu meditation classes that popped up, and I think you might see it in the film. There were people sitting around ohming, you know, and then there were impromptu yoga, you know, sessions that popped up, and no matter where you were in the field, you could hear the music.
And what did it look like to see 500,000 people there?
So it's a little bit like saying, what does the forest look like when you're in it?
Yeah.
Right? Because you're walking around in it. You know, you're in there. You're one of those 500,000 people. So it didn't look like anything. It looked like a great outdoor concert that everybody was loving. And yes, there were a lot of people. And yes, there were a lot of nude people. And yes, there were a lot of crazy people. But I wouldn't trade that experience for anything.
Now, I asked this question with a little trepidation because I know that you grew up in Jersey City, right? So, you know, certainly not an impressionable youth to any degree. I can't imagine having grown up in that environment. But, you know, a lot of people said that it was really heartwarming for them to see so many people like themselves. You know, this is the age where there's no social media. You don't know where they are. Did you feel that way?
No, although that's a really good... That's a really good conceptual framework, I have to say that. I didn't feel different, so maybe that's another way of saying it. I just felt like I was one of everybody, and everybody was a collective. It wasn't everybody, there's a group over there, and there's a group of everybody's over there, and everybody was just everybody.
Yeah, you know,
who you were or what you were doing, or you were just one part of everything.
I watched the documentary over the weekend, and one of the things that I came away from, and I just told one of our staff members here, Rod Richardson, that I felt when I was watching it that those were my people. Like, I completely recognized them as, you know, let's just say WPKN types.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. And it's so interesting. There was a really great New Yorker cartoon about when the 25th anniversary came around, and it was these hedge fund sort of CEO guys with name tags that said, hello, my name is, and they supposedly were all at Woodstock, you know, like now they're all of the same peoples, right? But yeah, it's a really good observation. I was who they were, and I was there not feeling like an observer watching this. I was part of it.
Yeah, you know, do you believe that your thinking at that time led you to the teaching profession and being a principal and that kind of work?
Oh, wow, what a good question. It's a little hard to know what I was thinking at that time.
right.
Other than I was really interested in taking care of people. And I felt like one of the reasons that I didn't do drugs, didn't trip, was that I wanted to be available to take care of people that were. And of course, a lot of my friends were doing drugs at that time. And it wasn't something that I maybe it's a control issue. I always wanted to be able to be in control in case I needed to be there.
Yeah. And, you know, the last question I have for you is, your mother let you go to Woodstock when you were 17?
Yeah.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah, I know. I know. Well, you have to understand, I was a very good girl. I was a smart girl. I didn't do anything wrong. I obeyed all the rules. And she loved my then boyfriend, who actually ended up being my first husband. And so she trusted that we would be okay. Now, I did call her on Saturday to let her know that I was okay, and she was very upset because she said, well, Lisa's mother told me there were no bathrooms there. And I said, okay, hold on a second, Mom. And I came back and I said, you know, I just don't see Lisa's mother, so I'm not sure where she's getting that information. There's plenty of bathrooms.
Yeah, I mean, they actually, do you know the research behind that they did?
For the bathroom?
Yes, because they had never run something like this before, and so they went out to like baseball stadiums and things like this and did time checks of how many people went to the bathroom at certain times so that they
That's
could and then they bought as many bathrooms as they could.
Well, there were a lot of Portage Johns there. There definitely were.
Yeah.
But I think you just hit the nail on the head. They had never done this before. And like that was the overriding wow that everybody had. It's like, wow, look what we're doing. We never did this before. Like there was this sense of, wow, we've never done this before. And how great is it that we are?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it has been a pleasure speaking with you. As you know, I adore working with you, and I appreciate
all the feelings mutual.
And I certainly appreciate your time. And if you ever do find those jeans, please.
I know.
Bring them to work, Barbara.
But I'll bring the Survive poster to work so you don't have to take a picture of it.
I'll love to see it.
You in person.
Okay, thank you so much, Barbara.
All right.
And welcome to WPKN and our family.
Thank you for having me. It was great. See you tomorrow.
We are listener-supported radio, WPKN. We thank Barbara for joining us, giving us a little bit of her take on Woodstock. You're welcome to call. If you were at Woodstock, you can call 203-331-9756 if you'd like to get in on the discussion. We have a couple of more people scheduled. Actually, some of our WPKN hosts are going to join us in just a little while. But if you'd like to do that, 203-331-9756, we'll put you on the air and you can tell us your little brief story about Woodstock. And this is Steve Turay, African Shuffle.